Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we begin, I want to remind you all to join the new Union Sports Goalkeeping Community, a social media network that reimagines how we engage, educate, and entertain one another. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union Community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18, presented by ProGK Academy and the Union Sports. I'm goals against average one. Now, unfortunately, Michael Magid, I had a goals against average of zero until yesterday when a penalty kick was awarded at the very end of the game in my men's over 30 league. Obviously, these are the massive results that you guys came in for. With me, somebody who's accomplished way more than that, 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber, and joining us, somebody doing even more right now, DC United head of goalkeeping, Diego Restrepo. What's up, dude?
What's up, guys? Good seeing you. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to chat with you guys about the best position in the world. So
I love that.
Yes, sure.
I love the way you said that too, the best position in the world, as if like there was like some like team manager like over to the side of you, like, are you gonna say it? You're gonna say it's really the best position in the world?
It is.
They don't like us. They always put us to the corner to go train. So I have to our second of fame when we get a chance.
See that, guys? So even if you are a young coach out there and you're going like, my club coach makes me do this, even at the professional level, guys, we're just not getting the respect, guys. So
I'm not going to say much because I don't know who's watching.
yeah. That's right. Tomorrow I'll be like, oh, really, Diego? You think you're in the corner?
Now, before we kind of get into today's topic and everything, guys, I mean, today we're going to be talking about balancing results with development and creating an environment that can balance both of those. Diego, obviously a lot's been happening for you. A lot of people know you from Next Action Sports, from the camps down in the Texas area, and obviously, you know, your work that you were doing in Austin. But now you're at the professional game at DC United. So why don't you tell us how that happened?
Yeah, so I was with Austin FC for the past year and a half. It was awesome after retiring to get that opportunity right away to be in a pro environment. It was a pro academy environment. So it was really exciting. It was a year and a half of a lot of work, a lot of hours. We're talking about almost 12 hours a day, learning the game and understanding what it takes to run a proper academy at the highest level in the U.S. But it was an amazing fast track of coaching for me, and it kind of led to this opportunity, which happened overnight. It was just a phone call, and 12 hours later, I was in D.C. So it was pretty crazy.
Dude, I love that fast track.
Well, it does. But it seems to happen like that, you know. Like a lot of times, like if you're doing good work, people will find you, Saskia. Right? They will find you because the word gets out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just it was fast going, like jumping back into club, and then within 2.5 years at UCLA, now USC. So it was fast as well.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, one of those things out there is that you just never know, Diego, who's watching what, you know, who's, you know, got an opportunity at what club, you know, who's leaving what club. So you just kind of have to, you know, just do the best work that you can do. And then honestly, have a solid reputation. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but like, the worst thing you can do is have anybody speak negatively about your energy, because I personally am going to hire somebody that has positive energy, even if they're not maybe as qualified as somebody else.
Yeah. And then, you know, our community is very small, you know, the soccer community is very small. So you have to have good relationships. And it's crazy because this happened like on a Thursday or Friday. And then on that Monday, I was telling one of my, you know, one of my, my partners for Next Action that I was very excited to stay in Austin and hopefully do the whole process within the academy. And hopefully next year, you know, the MLS2 team and whatever and so on. And then during that week, I was offered 4 jobs. it's crazy. I was not expecting it. I wasn't ready for it. I almost took a USL job, but all of a sudden I was a little bit patient. And then this came on 4 days later, you know?
Dude, I love what you just said there in regards to the patience aspect. You know, Saskia, I don't know about you, but I've had a tendency to sometimes, let's say I'm not in a position where I have the job I want and something comes about to me that's not exactly what I'm looking for either. And I go, well, you know, I might as well just take that. But if I hold, and I know this is something that you've done before, is like you've held and you've waited for the right opportunity, because it's really about the environment too.
Right. And you have to, if you have the ability to do that, you kind of have to stay true to what you really want in your heart, because then you're going to put all your heart into it. You know, I mean, I'm at the point in my career where I'm not moving, and everybody kind of knew that. So, you know, I waited for the opportunity after UCLA to come up locally, and USC came up, and it was a perfect timing. So, you know, else I probably might have gone back to club or sat out a year to find the right fit for me so that I could kind of balance my life as well as my coaching.
And I love what you said about the balance thing too, with the life thing too, because Diego, obviously for yourself, you know, making that move to Virginia, DC, Maryland, whatever you want to call that area, that's a big, massive jump from being in Texas, you know. And is that something that you had to really think about from a lifestyle standpoint too, before you made that decision?
Yes, 100%, especially having my business in Texas, in Austin. It was difficult, but it was an opportunity I couldn't pass. You know, I think for us as coaches that were in the youth game, an opportunity like this might take 5, 7, 10 years to come upon. So I was very, very lucky to come within a year and a half. And throughout my career, it was the same thing. Like I would get a call one night, and then the next day I would have to fly and be in a different team. So I'm kind of used to it. I miss that feeling. Actually, I miss that feeling of being in the pro environment. And I miss the feeling of being adventurous and being spontaneous in a way of just getting in my bag and just taking off.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the days.
You can still be spontaneous and take off, Saskia.
I am spontaneous. I just remember not remembering where I was. I would be in a hotel room and have to like roll over and look at like the little thing on the phone, be like, you know, Hilton, Chicago. I'm like, oh, okay. Because every place looked the same at a certain point. But yes, you know, and I think that when you're at that point in your career that you can jump on those opportunities, absolutely do it. And it will actually make your business better for it.
Yeah. So speaking of that, Diego, so you were talking a little bit off the air, you know, you were talking about the fact that you still have your camps going despite the fact that you've made the move to DC. So how abouts can, let's say there's a young coach out there listening, they're like concerned about, I've built this goalkeeper academy in my area, and you know, I have all these students here and everything like that. If I leave, that disappears. How can they make it still happen?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is making relationships with your city. I was fortunate enough to have my partner Calixto Barrios. Him and I hit it off from the beginning, and we became best friends. And he's one of my main guys in Austin. He's my main guy in Austin. So for me, it was very simple to just leave it, because I know it's like me being present. And I'm not jealous about my work. I'm not jealous about my database. I'm not jealous about what I built in Texas, because for me, ultimately, it's for all of us, all goalkeepers, everyone getting better. So I was fortunate enough to have a long-term vision. And I think that's the biggest advice I give people. Don't look at today, look at tomorrow, and just surround yourself with good people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to those relationships. You know, if you don't want to control everything on your own and everything, then, and you trust the people you've surrounded yourself by and quality coaches and people, then, you know, yes, I love that you feel comfortable leaving. And I think that's great.
Yeah. 100%. And you got to trust people, right?
Sometimes yeah, absolutely.
You're going to get burned, but that's life. You know, we all been there. We all learn our lessons. You know how to learn how to sniff people the right way or the wrong way. Right.
So no, it's true. It's true.
So, you know, just be open-minded as well, you know?
Diego, I love the fact that you just brought that up right there, is the fact that I think us as goalkeeper coaches, or at least maybe I'm just speaking for myself, I think a lot of us sometimes can have, for lack of a better term, you know, a kind of a power complex where like we it's difficult for us to give trust to other people, you know? I've seen that happen with a lot of people when it comes to running camps and clinics, and they try to make it about them as opposed to the experience for the young players. What I've loved about what you've done with Next Action, and I'm not trying to make it a plug for Next Action. By the way, love the rebranding. What a cool name. Next Action Next Action Sports. Is that you've brought in a community of coaches from different environments. They're not all, you know, a coach from this specific city or who've trained with this specific goalkeeper coach their entire lives or played at this specific club. They're from all over the world. And I think that's really bringing the goalkeeping community together.
Yeah. I mean, for us, the biggest thing is in this position is about adjusting. You have milliseconds to adjust to any player position or whatever angle, whatever you want to call. And it's the same thing to a coach, right? You never know. Tomorrow you might be trying out for a team in China. The next day you might be trying out a team in Italy. And there's different types of coaching, different types of styles. Can you adjust on the fly? Should it not take you 5-6 reps to adjust to a new coach? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do with the kids. We wanted to expose them to different coaches, expose them to different styles and different languages as well. And I think we managed to do that in a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, that goes back to what you're saying, like the ego thing. If you can accept the fact that, number one, not everything you say is on point and that goalkeeping is a gray area and there are many different styles and techniques, and it's really what fits the kid, the player, the kid best and enhances them individually, and bringing all different styles, we've talked about this so many times, into the mix is key.
Yeah, you know, I want to bring this up with you, Diego, is the fact that you've obviously, you know, you've come about in different goalkeeping environments and different, you know, soccer football cultures. You know, you played in South America, you know, you played in the United States, you know, you've seen different types of ways of going about that. And do you feel that that's actually made you a better coach because you've seen it from two different points of view?
100%, because I had some really bad goalkeeper coaches. I had some really good ones, right? And you learn to take all that information and you learn to process the good and the bad. And I was able to adjust. And I think that's a word that I use a lot with my goalkeepers. You have to adjust quickly. You don't have that luxury of taking time. And that was the biggest thing for me that throughout my career, I was everywhere. I was almost a gypsy, right? So, I enjoyed that. I mean, I enjoyed the suck. We use that here at DC United. You got to enjoy when it sucks. You got to enjoy when you're happy. You got to enjoy when you're successful. You got to enjoy when you're doing bad. So at the end of the day, can you adjust to all types of coaches and styles? And I think being surrounded by that, it's going to help you become a better person, first of all. It's going to help you become a better athlete. And it's going to help you to become a better human being for society, you know?
And I think, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of young goalkeepers out there who have never, and I've seen this with a lot of parents, is that they're so concerned about their kid going, they're like, well, they've been trained by so-and-so and I don't want them to work with so-and-so because they're going to ruin what so-and-so did or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but what if your kid one day gets a contract in Thailand and he's never been exposed to anything but this so-and-so coach or whatever, and there's a different language and everything like that. Like, you can't helicopter a young goalkeeper. You've got to let them learn on their own, grow on their own, and experience different things.
And I had that happen to me in my career. Right after the U17 World Cup, I went with the U.S. in 2005. I was fortunate enough to go to Deportivo La Coruña in Spain for a trial. And over there, they use their right arm the same as they use their left arm.
Yep.
For anything. Throw, punch. Yep.
She had the same thing. She had the same thing happen to her
in Japan.
When she went overseas.
I couldn't. I was like punching on my left like this.
It's true.
Yeah, I had no idea. I looked like a fool out there on the field, and that opened my mind to a new world. I was like, "Holy crap!"
Yeah, it happened to me in Japan, and they're like, "You're on the U.S. national team. You're, you know, in World Cups, and you can't throw equally with your left and bot with as you can." And now I can. Yeah. but you know, instead of coming at it like with an arrogant attitude, I was like, hey, you're right. You know, how is this going to hurt my game? It's going to balance out my body and everything. And now I do everything both. Like, even when I'm like boxing out back, I'm like, okay, I got a jab left, change foot. Like, it's a balanced situation that I got taught in Japan. And had I not gone over there, I never would have learned that.
You never would have opened your mind to it, right?
So absolutely.
And that's what I love about our program, like that culture. We bring coaches from everywhere. and you see some really bad things for you personally. You think that, but maybe it's right for them, right? So we just want to expose everyone to that.
So let's do this here. I want to bring this up right here on here. Let's see if everybody can find this here. So this is bum 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 bum. Can everybody see that right there? All right. Look how fancy this is. So this is the DCN Super methodology and training mode. It's only 17 minutes, guys. It's very short. But Diego, by the way, I love it. Diego sends me like a Dropbox of like 7 different files after. I was like, hey man, do you mind sending us some stuff? He's like, here's sure some stuff. I'm like, dude, did you put this all together for the podcast? You are the most organized.
Oh, I can show you how I have a bunch of stuff for years if you want me to, but I don't want to bore people, you know?
So let's kind of walk through this period basically here, because we're trying to talk about, you know, today's topic about, you know, balancing an environment of results, which is obviously the professional level, and development. So let's kind of talk a little bit here, Diego, of what you got right here with the perspective.
Yeah, so you have two things going on: the components of what it means to be a goalkeeper, what you have to do, right? You know, that you have your technical side, your tactical side, your physical, and your mental. And also you got to adapt that to your methodology concept, right? And your trainings, right? It has to be game oriented, appropriate for your age, right? If you're an academy level, I cannot do the same thing I do with 12-year-old that I do with 18-year-old. It has to be always goal oriented. Otherwise, we're wasting our time out on the field. And player oriented, right? For me, the biggest thing is every player is a project. Every single player is a project. It has different needs, it has different goals, and I'm huge on daily, weekly, and monthly goals, right? You have to have your own IDPs, and that's what I focus a lot on.
Yeah. Saskia, I love one of the things that Diego has put up right here in regards to goal-oriented. I think that's a problem with a lot of young goalkeepers out there, is they don't have goals.
Well, yeah, and they're going to be different goals for every age group. And, you know, your goals, again, like Diego said, you can't treat your pros the same you're going to treat your young players and everything. And it could be short-term goals, long-term goals, and everything. And you have to identify that. What's your short-term goal within training? Maybe it goes week to week, or maybe it goes season to season. What's your long-term goal? What are your big goals in a sense of like where you want to go with your career and everything? And those are all things that have to be discussed. It's not just like, hey, come play and bye, go home. You know, it's all about setting up a program.
I want to move on to this right here as this thing keeps playing right through here. Okay, so now we're getting into some activities right here. Diego, I want to ask you this kind of before we go into this, and obviously Bill Hamid, what a dynamic athlete we got. John Kempen too. Yeah, I'm not giving anything away from John right there as well too. I don't want him to send me a horrible DM later on. But here, you're talking about Bill Hamid right here, right? So this is a veteran goalkeeper, you know, at the highest of levels right here, technical handling and coordination. Look at the focus that he's got right there, but he's still learning, as we all still are, but you still need to get results this weekend. So how do you balance those two?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, we have to obviously find out who your opponent is, right? You have to scout them. You have to figure out their positives and negatives. What are they good at? Also at the end of the day, we have to focus on ourselves, right? I think with Bill, he's done an amazing job this season to look at himself and get himself ready. I think he lost about 25 pounds coming into this season. So I give him props for that. He's taking care of himself off the field greatly. He's balancing his life in a great way. And I think it's shown in the first 5 games of the season. I think, honestly, he's been one of our better players, if not the best player on the field so far. And it takes a lot of hard work, you know, on and off the field to have those performances. And he looks great. He looks focused. I'm excited to be able to work with him. He's received me greatly. He's opened his arms to me when he can easily have done the opposite. And we hit it off pretty well. Same thing with John. I think John is a great athlete. He's a true pro. I wish I had 50 Johns in the team. He's amazing, by the way.
Wait, hold on. How heavy are those med
balls? You know what? You really were in the corner, though. When you guys were in the stadium, like, wait a minute, he's really in the corner.
I am.
He wasn't kidding. Yeah. I think what's really great about this, and you were talking about the focus, and I think what you find, you know, obviously you're talking about the top of the top, the elite level here. And what we find with a lot of young players is they try to get to the end result and not focus on what they're doing. So if you watch these clips, it's like, I'm focusing on my footwork now, I'm focusing on my movement, you know, over the hurdle. And then I'm focusing on, where's my final action with the catch? Am I holding on to the ball? And a lot of times, if like in young players, if they see this, they'll go, okay, I got to get to that power dive or that upper, that's all they're thinking about. So they kind of like rush through their footwork, don't focus, and it's all a part of it. And I love that the intensity and the focus here, and that's what all young players need to see, that everybody does this, even the best of the best goes through this footwork, this intensity, and this focus.
Yeah, it's one action at a time, right? We got to
absolutely
one action at a time. It doesn't matter if I move on to the next one if I just did the first one wrong, especially when you're starting the drill, right? Your foundation is your everything to what's coming up next. So yeah, make sure you have a good foundation.
My favorite is also they try to do it so fast. I'm like, did I say it was fitness? I'm like, yeah. Like,
But no, I think you just brought up a really good point, Saskia, because as we're kind of progressing into this, the strength work that you're incorporating into the actual activities right here, do you talk with the performance coaches when you're putting together these activities to make sure that they are going to be game realistic movements, even though you're incorporating this aspect?
Yeah, so with our strength coach, Victor, he does an amazing job. We have a great relationship, and we have incorporated this, the technical aspect with the gym, you know. At the end of the day, we're looking to do 2 to 3 sessions a week on strength. We want to separate the muscles that we're using every day, and we either do a ballistic move in one day with some type of throw, which is what's happening here. And then when we use the lower bodies, we want to make sure we use certain muscles that we're not going to use the next day. And then when we use strength, we want to take some power into it. So that's what you guys are seeing right now. We're seeing some kettlebell swings. And then we always have a transfer into speed, because at the end of the day, that's our position, right? We have to be quick. We have to be explosive. That's kind of
I want to go and train with you. This looks awesome. This looks like fun.
You know, and it depends also, like for us, like I just had a meeting today with our strength and conditioning coach to set up the summer schedule for the goalkeepers for what I need for them for when they get back into the fall, like what to focus on, which is going to be totally different than the field players. And we had a long discussion about it, and I need more like explosive movements when they're not with us and everything like that. So these conversations must be had.
Yes, 100%. And we try to utilize everything on the field, because sometimes you don't get the time, right? We don't get the time during the week. You might get 20 minutes a day sometimes. So if I go to gym and then we come out on the field and they do a warm up, I get 10 minutes that day. So can I mix both of them and now incorporate the ball as well? So that's kind of where we are at the moment with our plan into the strength work and the goalkeeping training.
I have a question, Diego, in regards to like what we were just seeing here in regards to, you know, and I know we're going a little bit off the topic here, but I find this really fascinating because I love performance work. Is what match day minus what are we looking at right here? Because this is obviously not.
Match day minus 5 or 4, right? Okay. The first 2 days of the week. Imagine doing this the day before.
I was going to say. I was like.
In 2 seconds. No, this is. Yeah, and with Bill, we had a good conversation with him that for me, I want him to work on, you know, we play Saturday. I want each team to come and work on Monday, right? Sometimes you take till Tuesday to get going. I think that's too much time. 48 hours of rest. You know, at the end of the day for goalkeepers, it's more of a mental fatigue, right, than on your body, depending on the game, of course, you know, the weather and all that stuff. But we have a plan that has been working, and he agreed to it. And we come in on Monday, and we get to work right away.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because they don't. It's a different time of rest and recovery than the field players need. They didn't just run 8 miles,
exactly.
And they, you know, and so I agree that it's too long. Sometimes, you know, the field players will come off, and maybe they'll have like something light or in the gym on a Monday, and then they're back at it on Tuesday. I would rather be on the field with the goalkeepers on that Monday having a session, especially because three of the goalkeepers didn't play.
Exactly.
So I'm giving, if you're not doing that, then you're giving those keepers that didn't play four, like they're almost having 4 days off, or 3 days off. So you want to get back at it. Yeah. I think sooner than a field player.
Exactly. Absolutely. And then if you look at the case of a week of strength work, for example, number two or three, we will get another spike on maybe a Friday, the day before a game, because most likely he won't play. So number three won't play. So we'll get another spike in the gym work on that Friday, so he can have a weekend off in a sense, right? And another Monday is one work as well.
There's a question on the YouTube page right now, and I just want to throw this up there really quickly because it's a little bit on topic. I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, Oliver, if you don't mind. But Oliver is asking, has an injury ever made you consider quitting? I'm going to rephrase that since we are talking to professional goalkeeper coaches right here. Has an injury ever made one of your players consider quitting, and how did you handle that for them?
I did quit playing because of my injury, so I'll answer
that. Me too.
I thankfully have not been around that yet, especially because I, come from the youth side. I don't think kids are really getting that injury. Maybe sometimes ACLs and whatever, but they're young and they can recover pretty well nowadays. So far, knock on wood, I haven't had that come on upon me yet.
I think you have to identify why, like, especially with the younger players. Is it that there's a fear of getting hurt again? Why are they considering quitting? And so if you can identify that and address it, I think that's the most important thing. I know there was a point in my career that I've talked about this before, that I had a fear of that going through an injury I'd had before. Yeah. And it kind of held me back from going for it. Like, I was a little slow on coming for crosses and a little cautious because I didn't want to blow my ankle again. And I went to a therapist to get through that. And so you have to identify why that injury is creating those thoughts in a player's mind. And it could be something like that. It could be the pain and the fear of getting injured again. And that's something you can actually work through.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you my case. I tore 49% on my patella tendon. If I would have tore 2 more percent, it would have came off the muscle, off the bone, sorry. So I still feel it today. I have to do rehab every day. I have to do some type of exercise, which I hate doing now.
So Diego, what you're saying is you can't fill in for me on the over 30s men's A division.
I don't play whatsoever, man.
I don't play at all. I hope the USC, everybody's listening to this because they're like, we're a goalkeeper down right now. So there's like, and I'm like, well, there's this assistant over there. Get him in the goal. I'm not getting in goal, you guys. And everybody looks at me. I'm like, it's not going to happen.
They have staff games every week. I just walk by with my backpack. See you guys later.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. Nope. I try to let them know. It's like, my body's not, can't take a hit like that right now.
100%. Yeah.
So there's a great question from Strat. We'll get to it in a second. Right now, by the guys, keep sharing these questions, guys. If we don't get to all of them, guys, there's the forum on the Union. Great place to ask questions. Great place to display any of your content that you want to share with the goalkeeping community, guys, theunionsports.com. Or you can go on Google Play Stores, Apple, whatever. All the places. You know where social medias are, apps are. You can get those there. I'll put it back up in a second. But I want to get back to this here in regards to the balance. So here's the technical objectives that you have. And I think this is important because this is showing the development phase of what you want out of these activities. Diego.
Yeah. So this, sorry, I thought you were going to play hit play or something.
Oh yeah. I can let it play if I want.
No, for me, these are the areas of we need to work on a daily basis, weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Right? We have five areas that I touch, area of play, distribution, footwork, shot stopping, and 1v1s. These are some examples that we have from the first team. And this doesn't really change when I did with Austin FC, right? At the end of the day, it changes the goal oriented, what type of services we were doing, But for me, this is my methodology. This is what I believe on. This is some example of forward with Bill. I think he's a big boy, right? So we need to get him moving. He's a big body, I'll tell you that. But he's very
sure the 25, the last 25
yeah, he looks
pounds yeah. has helped him get a lot
yeah,
quicker.
He's doing great. This is an example of 1v1s. He loves doing this prior to games, just being explosive, sharp, some reaction work, getting there and coming out and just being sharp for the game for the next day. So
I gotcha.
Yeah, so yeah. He is a lot on kind of doing the same thing the day before a game. Consistency. So getting used to that. Kind of, you know, at the end of the day, he's the one playing. I gotta get him comfortable. Same thing when John plays, it's whatever they want to do the day before a game, right? I'm a big believer in having that open relationship. If you can gain their trust, they're gonna do better for you most likely. If you can hit a ball properly, you're gonna gain their respect. So I think that's huge for coaches out there to continue to work every day on their services. Continue to work every day on reading, understanding, being open-minded to different styles of goalkeeping, maybe picking a style abroad from us and really studying it and going deep into it and catching new information on it.
Yeah, we're like minds on that. I'm a very big proponent of, as you get towards game day and everything, then it's got to be the same. You want them to get into a rhythm that, like, on a Thursday, on a Friday, they know what the session's going to be. That really gets them prepared for the game itself, and that like consistency in the training. Like, okay, on Fridays we're doing like certain types of crosses and shot stopping, but it's the same every Friday. And it just gets you into that rhythm, because if you're coming in on a Friday and trying to change things up and like trying to teach something and trying to do all that, that's not what you need. You need your mind to be focused. You need to be settled and go through some repetition. And it's just a repetition that you know is coming, and just get it done.
Yeah, 100%. And then having that relationship of, hey, how are you feeling today? Yeah. You need something extra. You want to do a little bit more. You want to do less. How's your mood? Did you sleep last night properly? Right. Yeah. So all that matters hugely in that situation.
I want to bring this up when we're talking about balance again, because this is a great question from Stratable. Strat 9 to 4able. How do you balance strength work with technical execution for the shot stopping portion? Fatigue will lead to poor technique. Any suggestions on how to balance those? This is great, because a lot of young coaches think more is better. And as we know, less is more sometimes.
Yeah. So the numbers that we do are set to not get you to that point, right? We don't do 20 reps of whatever because we feel like doing it. No, it comes in hand with the strength coach recommendation, and then obviously with what we want to do that day. Do we want to push a little bit more or push a little bit less? But I will never get to a point where we will lose technique, because that's when injuries can happen, and that's a big no-no for in our world.
Yeah, it's also a focus issue. Like, I actually got that from when I was training with the men's national team, that I trained with the men's national team when I was off with the women's, because I'm crazy. But it was, you know, this is how many reps you have. This is how many sets we're doing. Yeah. And it helps the goalkeeper focus as well. You want them to finish as strong as they're starting. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with that, because you don't want it open ended. All right, get in. And they have no idea we could do 20 reps or whatever. You want them focused, sharp. Okay, you've got 7 reps. You've got 8 reps. I usually pick my lucky number and stuff like that. And I tell them, and this is it. This is how many you're doing. This is how many sets you're doing. Let's go. Focus, you know. And you don't want to get to that point where that's when you are going to get hurt. When you have those coaches out there just like 20 reps later.
And we manage as well with their GPS, the amount of dives they did really, and to what side it did more, right? So maybe they're in training because of the game situations, they had a dive, you know, 8 times to the left, they only do 1 time to the right. So sometimes we try to balance for the whole week how many dives, you know, we try to make it equal. So we play a lot with that as well.
So I want to actually, no, hold on. We just went boom, 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 boom. Where are we going? Out of this. Or did this all end here?
We saw that one.
Oh, we saw this. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull this out, because I wanted to go to the youth game, because I wanted to show people there, because some people were asking if there was differences here. So I'm going to take this out and I'm going to add the, see, Diego sent so many videos, man. So, all right. So now we're the,
it's great. Send them on. Yeah. So I can steal training ideas.
Okay. Ah. Where the heck is the, okay. Is this one, did I put the wrong one up here?
Yeah, that there you go.
This is the one. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what's going on right here, Diego?
Yeah. So
these are the young guys.
These are younger guys. When in Austin, we had the U12 to U14. As you can tell, there's a whole army out there. So it's a different world. You're trying to coach 10 goalkeepers sometimes at a time. And the biggest thing for them at that moment is, can we touch the ball, get the right technique, get them warm properly? I hate when there's a line and people are just standing there for their rep. So can we all get them stimulated mentally and physically? So this is just a simple warm up. We included passing. And you gotta think, these are sometimes 11-year-old kids doing this. So it's pretty cool to see them being able to execute. It took us a long time to get to that point.
I love it.
For them to hit a volley properly, but it was pretty cool. And then if you go back to the slide, I'll explain.
This one right here? Right after it.
This is how we will break down a session, always starting with some type of technical work, because that's your DNA as your goalkeeper. You know, this day, for example, is aerial play. We work on these aspects. You know, we have forward, round, lateral, crossover, pairing, tipping, right? Something that is not very used, or I've seen a lot in the youth game here in the U.S. And it's very important. I think, like we talked about earlier, right? Punching with your right arm, tipping with your left arm. I think we need more of that in our country. And then also clearance with one fist, two fists. I mean, I've been to, in our camps, we get goalkeepers, 14, 15-year-olds that have no idea how to punch the ball.
Yeah.
So I think they need to start doing it at a younger age, right? And hopefully they get to the right environment. And they can learn that. Then from there, our session will progress into some tactical work, either positioning, you know, body orientation, you know, assessing the space, getting to the net. You know, this is more of the tactical part of the game, right? This is where you have more of a live situations going on. And then finally, you will push that into with team situations if you're doing some type of crossing and finishing drills, or even simulating crossing situations with the goalkeeper core. And then I think we're going to see some examples of that.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Does that come up right here?
Yeah. No, there we go. So okay. This is the technical part. You know, this is a simple warm up with the boys. This is just simple footwork, you know, get into the position and just across, and a lot of movement for the young kids, you know, a lot of coordination,
yeah,
small steps, you know, help them bend. Obviously, you're going to make mistakes. They're young, but it's how much of good repetitions can they make? And then
I love that. I love what you just said right there, Diego, because just not to cut you off right there, but people were watching the pro session earlier on and they're going like, oh, great. I'm going to take that. But you're talking about veteran professional Bill Hamid, you know, U.S. men's national team, you know, I mean, that the highest of levels that you're talking about right here. And you can't expect the same out of these young goalkeepers. So when we're talking about balancing results and development, well, the results that your coach is going to expect out of an 11-year-old better be different than what they expect out of a 30-year-old.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why we're huge, and I'm huge on goals, right? Daily, weekly, and monthly goals. What do we want out of this training session? What do we want from this week with the game included? What do we want to be in a month from now? And I think if you have that, then you're going to have some patience, right? I think it's huge with kids having patience. This is something we started at Austin. We do a lot with rondos, a lot of goalkeeping training with rondos. First of all, it's great on their fitness. Second of all, it gets them really comfortable with their feet. They improve greatly within a matter of weeks, being able to be around the ball, being comfortable on the ball, under pressure. And then everything, we transition to some type of goalkeeping action. This really, really helped us develop these kids. I think they did a really good job. And then obviously, we progress into other topics, 1v1s. But yeah, this I would encourage a lot of people to do, because they have to be comfortable, especially in the modern game.
Yeah, you know how I feel about rondos, Mike. Yeah. I mean, especially like, I love sticking my goalkeepers in team rondos. I feel that it gets the team comfortable playing the ball to the keeper as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a mental thing. So if you're in there and touching the ball and you're with your team, that team, that player on the your team's not going to think twice about playing you the ball because they're used to doing it in rondos, mm-hmm. and you're getting quicker and faster with your feet. It has to be done.
And you're also getting exposed.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can do it or can't do it, right? So
Exactly.
You have to grow at some point.
I want to go back to that. I want to freeze on this Rondo game right here, because I love one of the things here, Diego, that I want a lot of young coaches out there to see is the fact that it's not just rondos and then shot stopping later. It's in possession to out of possession, because that's the game, the fluidity, right?
Yeah. It's you reacting to a mistake. You're reacting into the position that you need to be. Is something happen, emergency mode? What am I going to do next? Right. Because you can, yes, you can go back to the goal, but do you have the right angle? Do you have the right distance? Do you have the right line? So it's helping the kids replicate what could happen on the weekend, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I love, again, the game realism in regards to the fact is like the block into, you know, the poor, you know, I don't want to say poor, that's a negative word right there, but let's just say the ball was not in the best space, so and then having to deal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So this is a drill that I'm huge, and maybe some people don't like it, but I'm huge in having 3 to 4 actions just because of the dynamic that you need to have as a goalkeeper. Because it makes you think more. It makes you you have to be clean, right? Because if you have 4 actions and you're only clean one, you know, it's not successful enough. So I'm huge in that, right?
Yeah.
And then this is a rondo with bigger boys. Kind of going into a 1v1 situation, you know, rondo, we keep it. You're going to see here, we lose it, and it's realistic. It goes into a shot, and then a second shot coming in. So it's good, because we have so many numbers. You have to be creative. You have to find a way to be creative. Otherwise, you're just going to stand all there and do a line, and no, that's a huge no-no.
I love what Eli just said right here. Very game-like rehearsal for the big show. And that is the case, you know, Suski, is that when we're training, we need to be replicating the pictures they're going to see in the game.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the same page, Diego. Like, there have to be multiple actions because that's game realistic. And whether you're pulling from a bad position into a good position to make a save and then follow up by another save, whatever it is, you want to make these drills, although focusing on the technical side of it, game realistic. You don't want it stagnant. You don't want a line. You don't want young kids getting in there and say, okay, now save this shot.
Yeah.
Like, where are they going? Like, is this game realistic? Start them out of position. Start them high. Have them retract into the goal and figure out with their peripheral vision, are they in the right position? Are they everything and set and make a save? And then follow it up by a through ball or a breakaway, or follow the action up by having to kick the ball and clear the ball and give a good pass to the 9 or whatever. So set that stuff up so it's not stagnant. So it 100%. Actually replicates a game.
Yeah, 100%. And if you go back to the beginning of this video, these are 11, 10.
Got some good kids in Texas, man.
Yeah, look at that.
Where's Raphael? Is he in here?
Sorry, you, if you go back to the shot stopping.
The one that.
Next one.
Let's see here. Not there.
Keep going. Next one, I think.
Right here? Right there.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So these are 11-year-old kids, right? We're trying to get everyone as involved as possible in you know, putting that pressure in the first touch, right? Realistic. We have an angle shot. And then now what? What's next? That's kind of where the next action comes from, program, right? What's next? You have to know what's coming up next.
And a lot of trainers will say, okay, you made the save. Great. Next person in. But what's next? And what is next in this situation? Next in this situation is your distribution. And what are you going to do? So add it in.
Exactly.
Here's a great question I just want to throw up here right here from John. John, I thought I said John Mayer. And I was like, John Mayer is watching Inside the 18 right now. So, it's not John Mayer. It's John Moyer. And John,
nice picture, John. Like,
learning more about John every day. How often should incorporation of field player drills for goalkeepers should be implemented to increase the youth players' soccer IQ?
And by the way, this is John Moyer. He's a legend at Next Action Soccer. So what's up,
John? Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Yeah, so like Sasha said, I mean, can you incorporate your players as much as possible with the team? I think they need to be part of that, right? I mean, it helps them with their fitness, a different type of fitness for the position. At the end of the day, we're athletes. They also see a different dimension in different positions. I think kids up to the age of maybe 13, 14 should play all positions. They should enjoy the game. They should learn the game, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what your forward is going to do, if you have to do the right run, you don't know what the midfielder does, checking, scanning, receiving the ball, how are you going to tell them if you don't know what they need to do? So my recommendation is, as a youth player, especially young, play, have fun, play as many positions as possible.
And John, when you incorporate it into drills like that, if you have multiple goalkeepers, for young goalkeepers, as much as we want to get the drill right and shoot ourselves as coaches, it teaches the player that's not, let's say, not in the goal. And if they're striking the ball, now they're looking from a different perspective. Now they're saying, well, you know, so-and-so is too far near post. And so, and they see it from that attacking perspective. So now when they're in the goal, they remember, all right, so-and-so was too far near post. I have to watch my positioning on this. And it's just another way of training a goalkeeper.
I remember the first time I played center mid, and I was like, this is like, I feel like I'm on an alien planet. Like, I don't know. This is not soccer to me. Like, this is a completely different sport. Like, what is this? There's people around me 360 degrees. I don't like this. Please put me back in that cage. That's where I want to be. Because I was so uncomfortable.
But you also understand the speed of play. You also understand like the positioning on the field and where spaces are. And that if you're not in a space, if you're in center mid, then why would a goalkeeper serve you the ball? So now when you get into goal and you see your center mid in that position, you're not going to serve him the ball where before you might have. So it gives you that other perspective.
Exactly. Because it's reality as opposed to concept now for you, because you've been there before.
Yeah.
And you've gone through it. Of course you were. But here, Diego, you don't know Saskia. She was actually a high level lacrosse player too. Yeah. She was high level everything.
Not a goalkeeper.
I like that Red Bull. Any one of those.
I was a center. This is my second today. It's not a good thing. I'm shaking right now. And they're not my sponsor, but Red Bull. Hello.
We got a little more shot stopping going on right here.
With the younger kids, I mean, a little bit older kids, they're 16, 17, just, working on movement, getting everyone involved, you know, some distribution going on, and some passing, receiving, 1v1 situations, cutbacks. You know, this is more of a mixed day, incorporating a lot of the aspects that we touched during the week. And then this is, for me, huge. I do everything with involving the feet. I think you have to do it right. And it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. You have to at least have the right technique and the willingness to do it right. So it can be very simple as, you know, putting a ball around the cone and touching it forward, hitting it forward, but you have to be accurate, right? So this is huge for me. I think this is one of the virtues I had as a player. I'm only 5'11". There's a reason why I was able to play 12 years. It wasn't because I came out and collected crosses. It was more because I was decent with my feet, you know?
Yeah. I want to bring this up, Diego, with one of the things that you just said right there. And you were bringing up all the technique. I think something that's being lost in modern goalkeeping is technique. I think a lot of young goalkeeper coaches out there hear, you know, a lot of wonderful goalkeeper coaches talking about game realism and painting pictures and scenario training. And they don't recognize the fact that there is still a technical foundation to all of that.
Yeah. It's great to recreate situations because there's a muscle memory, right? It's great to do that. But if you're getting to that situation and you're not using the right technique, you're most likely not going to be successful. So it's huge in development. It's huge because you need to have that. That's your business card when you go somewhere. This is who I am.
If you even go back to your pro clips, those drills are focused on proper technique.
Exactly.
It's how to catch the ball properly. It's a repetition, and it's something that no matter, watch. Watch his eyes on the ball. Watch him reaching.
Thank you for taking a split. It's so important. For a second, if you don't mind. This is huge.
No, not at all.
It's so important because most players might be –
Catch
look at his eyes. look at his focus on the ball. It doesn't matter how, what level you're at. This is proper technique. And this is what you have to do every day. This and doesn't go, you don't hit a certain point in your career and be like, well, I don't really have to focus on that. Yeah.
The biggest thing with Bill is he takes every action like that. Like he finishes, boom, look, and then he moves on.
And you know, it's funny because I had Reason, one of our goalkeepers, in today, and she was, they were doing small side, and she caught a ball, and her technique was totally wrong. And it just fundamentally, it was, I don't care what coach you are, technique. Yeah. And I said, Reason, what was that? And she goes, I know, right? I go, fix yourself. And I said to her, I go, take a second, right? This is practice, and fix yourself. Split. If he had caught this wrong, I'm sure Bill would have gone, okay, no. Let me fix myself. Let me refocus on that. Take the second. I can't even tell you how she caught the ball because you'll be mortified. But, and then I was like, why don't you just fix yourself for a split second? So it's in your memory. It's muscle memory. It's like, no, this is how it is. And the more you do that, eventually you'll break those bad habits. But I love his focus here. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. And then if I can show you clips of the younger boys, the 23s or even the academy kids we have training.
Should I go back to those or those? That was awesome. Well,
right? I didn't send those.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But when I watched it today, for example, it's a whole race. I just want to get there 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm not focusing on what I need to do one action at a time.
That's what I'm saying. And people don't focus on it. I think there's a difference between, for young players out there, there's a difference between a goalkeeper coach that's there to train you. That's there just hitting balls, hitting shots, getting you through the drills and everything like that. And somebody that's there to really teach you and really coach you and slow it down. And like I said, it's not fitness. Focus on every action, because every single action, even giving me the ball back.
Yeah.
Okay. Giving me the ball back is a training moment. Like, why don't you throw it back properly to me instead of just like walking away and throwing it like this to me? That, what is that? That's a tough time to train yourself.
100%. But by the way, I mean, this is directly getting kind of the topic that we had in hand right here in regards to, and showing Diego's environment, to showcasing Diego how you can still train and develop at the same time. One doesn't have to be cut off for the other one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, Bill Hamid is probably one of the best, if not the best, you know, best goalkeepers in the U.S. in MLS, right? And every day we have to continue to learn and develop. It doesn't matter. You're never a finished product. I don't believe in that. You're never a finished product. So with him, it's been getting him more dynamic, right? For him, ever since I arrived here, is incorporating those 3 to 4 actions. We need to get him moving. He's a big body, so it was making him quicker. It was making him more dynamic, and he's been doing that. He's been adjusting to it, and he's doing great. I can't say more of him. Obviously, you know, Bill is Bill. Sometimes he has his attitude or whatever, but you know, I love the guy, and all top players have that.
No, but your perfect example about Bill is he realized that he's a big boy, and he realized, like, where can I get better? And getting better would be getting quicker and more dynamic. How do I do that? I dropped 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has to do that, but, and automatically I'm lighter on my feet, and I can be more dynamic, and I can focus on, he still needs, everybody needs places to improve. And, you know, and the fact that he can identify that and everything is huge. That'll just keep him playing.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Diego, because, you know, one of the problems I think we see at the youth level is that, you know, there's the Surf Cup this weekend, and, you know, you get handed these goalkeepers and they go, don't tell them anything. I don't want them to get screwed up for this weekend, because we need to move on in the group or whatever, you know? So how do you handle a conversation with a coach like that, as a goalkeeper coach?
What do you mean?
I've had this happen to me before, where like a coach will like come up to me and they'll be like, hey, we have like Surf Cup this weekend. You know, I want so-and-so to be ready for it. And I'm worried that you're going to be teaching them something today that they're going to be thinking about during the game. So I don't want you teaching them. Right.
Well, I think it goes back to kind of The problem with club is that you don't have your goalkeepers that every day. And so I think that if you're going into, like, we go back to what we said about the pros, in my opinion, it's a repetition thing when it comes up the day before a Surf Cup or a game. Like, get in some crosses, get in shots, get in something that is just, it's making them confident on the ball, get in their footwork, their touches, their services and everything that brings them into a tournament like that. Again, I agree in a weird way with the coach. Like, I wouldn't turn around and try to teach a new technique a day before they're going into a major tournament. Like,
yeah, I think that moment is how can you hit the right tone, right? The right tune. And is it motivation? Is it creating clips from training that you, successful clips that he's going to get, you know, a bump into his game, a step into his game? Is it going to be making me, I don't know, highlight tape from last season? I think the emotional side has a lot to do with it. But honestly, if somebody came up and told me
that, there's some things that I'm not going to say, although this is on the internet and stuff. So I probably could say the words I would say to them. And, I probably have said them.
I understand the question. And I understand it happens. I understand it happens. Yeah. It happens from
have I just been in really negative environments is what you're saying?
No, my favorite was when I was at club and the goalkeepers hurt and they would come up to me and say, okay, coach this field player how to play goalkeeper the game tomorrow. I'm like, no. And I'm just like, he's a really great athlete or she's a really great athlete. Just stick him in the goal. Let him be natural. I'm not going to teach. All I'm going to do is get in their head. Let them just do what they're going to do. Forget it.
By the way, I do want to kind of chime in on this in case anybody thinks that I was trying to retrain somebody the next day. I absolutely was, because I was a young coach and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But today I would be treating it a very different. And also, it's all about, one of the problems I had when I was a youth coach, when I was starting out, is that I didn't recognize that every young goalkeeper that I had at a session was on a different page of development and they had different needs for the coming weekend. And now as I started getting older, I started realizing even when you're working in groups, that you have to coach each person like an individual. And so how I will convey information to one person is going to be different than that person because of their needs for that weekend, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, each player is a project, right? Player is a project. So, yes, you might have something in mind that you're going to do that session, but you always have the opportunity to tweak it. You also have to sense what's going on during the day. Are they tired? Are they in a bad mood? Are they... you know, they're really happy, maybe they can do one more rep, you know, at the end of the day. So you have to have that sensibility, and that you have to sniff what's going on throughout the session. It's not just, you know, planning in a computer or whatever and then going with a piece of paper. You have to sense it, you know.
Yeah, there's sometimes, like, I think it was last week, where I was not happy with the way that the level of intensity in the session was going, and instead of kind of sticking to my session, I was like, all right, we're gonna raise your level a little bit here, and I'm gonna make this intense. And I changed my entire session, last part of my session, to bring that energy and that focus and intensity on the spot out of the keepers before we went into small sided, because it just wasn't there. And you have to be able to do that.
Sometimes is go up to him or the goalkeeper. What do you need? Right? Yeah. You have a full session, but you know it's not going right. What do you need at this moment? Yeah. What's going to make you happy? At the end of the day, you're there to help them get better. But you also have to earn their trust. And sometimes you have to give a little bit of you and put a little responsibility on them to continue to push.
Yeah. No.
Speaking of that, I know we need to start wrapping up right here. And Saskia, if you have to jump off early, we completely understand. And Diego and I will we'll dismount together.
I love this. I am going to jump off because I have to actually leave. Can you send me all of Diego's stuff, please?
Of course.
All the slides, all the videos he sent, just email them to me because I love all of it. I really do. And I think it's awesome. And I love what you're doing with the camps in Texas. I love watching the videos from them and everything. Keep it up. And, I'll root for DC United. Go. I'm like, sure. I'm like, oh, Angel City, LAFC, they're going to be mad at me, but it's okay.
It's all goalkeeper union. It's all goalkeeper union.
That's right.
All right. Later, Susk. So Diego, while we're wrapping up right here, I want to show everybody here because, you know, one of the things that's very difficult for a lot of young coaches out there is creating a realistic environment at camps. And a lot of times in camps, it seems very artificial. It seems very drill oriented. And I want to kind of share some of the stuff. And by the way, what was the purpose of rebranding to Next Action? There was a specific reason, right?
Yeah, the reason behind it was we wanted to start incorporating the field player side as well. For us was how can we combine the whole game together? We wanted to bring opportunities for goalkeepers to be surrounded with field players. And we needed to have a name with Next Action Soccer that, you know, kind of made sense to involve everything. Because when you have the word goalkeeping into something, you're very specific just in one topic. So that was the main reason behind Next Action Soccer. And for us, Next Action, like we talked about, is whenever you make a mistake, you have to move on and worry about the next action. When you have the ball in your hand, you made a save, you have to figure out what's going on. When you're a field player, when you're receiving the ball and scanning, what's your next action, right? So it's part of the game. That word is part of the game, and it's part of being successful winning the game. So that was the whole purpose of this.
I absolutely love it because I think one of the things that is missing a lot of times when it comes to goalkeeper coaching, especially in a one-on-one private environment I'm seeing a lot of times, is the next action. Mm-hmm. Is the coach will just let them do one action and then move on to the next kid. As opposed to what would happen really in a game like that. And I can't tell you how many times I've taken a new goalkeeper into my system, for lack of a better term, and they just stop because they've never been in an environment where they've had to think about it from a game standpoint. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but the biggest frustration is that the kid doesn't have the fault. You know, the kid has, you know, he hasn't been involved or put into the right environment, and that's unfortunate, right? So I ask parents that try to find the best environment possible. It doesn't matter what reputation the guy has, or it doesn't matter, you know, don't look into the stats, don't look at he works for this club. If he's doing it right, he's doing it right. And the product will speak for itself. And the biggest thing for me is, can you find the right environment? And actually make a family out of it. I mean, we're very grateful at Next Action that we have a very good group of people, families, right? At the end of the day, when you take somebody in, it's not just a player, you're taking the whole family in. So we try to, you know, make sure we bring the right people in. We don't want to have a bad apple as well. And I recommend you look for that as well. You know, you look for the right coach, the right program, and the right philosophy and methodology behind. There's a purpose to everything that you do.
I want to talk about results real quick because we have touched on it a little bit, and I'm not going to lie. And you know this, you know, being at a first team now is results do matter. I mean, that's the whole reason you're there is to get results for the club. How do you think as a goalkeeper coach, you should take results into consideration when you're designing your sessions?
100%, 100%. Okay. Because at the end of the day, this is a business that you're here one day and you're not here the next day, right? So you must get points. You must get points. You must continue to develop within that side of the game because it's part of the game. As well, when you win games, it's for everyone. When you lose games, it's for everyone. If you're successful, if your team is successful, you're going to have personal success. And at the end of the day, we all have ambitions to go even further into our careers. So, if you win, you'll get there as well, you know. So, unfortunately, it's a world that fortunately and unfortunately is a world that results matter, and you have to find a way to win.
You know, speaking of that, though, I want to throw this question up here. And Greg, great question right here, Greg, because I think it is important because we're talking about results mattering, but at the youth level, I think we also have to take into consideration how much the goalkeeper is playing and training and everything. And I see this with kids who go to high school soccer and then they're going to club games on the weekends and all those sorts of things. So he goes, what recommendations or advice can you give young goalkeepers who are considering hanging up the gloves due to burnout because of so much training, because of so much push on results, all that?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a great question by Greg. It kind of sucks being a kid in a good environment playing soccer. You're training four nights a week. you're traveling sometimes 5-6 hours to go play 90 minutes or 80 or 70 minutes, whatever it is. You know, you're going to school until 3-4 o'clock, you're getting home, you're changing, and you're going to the field from 6:30 until 9. Yeah, you're getting home at 9:30 to do homework, and every day is the same thing. It's how can you find that balance of letting them be a kid as well? How can you find a balance of enjoying yourself playing video games? I saw it firsthand in the Pro Academy at Austin, that kids were very talented, wanting to stop playing because A, their personal life, B, grades do go down, unfortunately, because all the hours that you have to put into it, and C, the pressure of not playing, the pressure of playing, the pressure, this is very important, from the parents, the pressure from the parents of, oh, my kid plays for Austin FC Academy. Sometimes the parents wanted more for that status within the soccer community than actual the kid wants it to be there, right? So sometimes when we let kids go, the parents are more disappointed than the kid because they might lose that status within the city of their friends and whatever. So for me, the biggest thing is find that right balance, how to fall in love with the game. If you need to take a break, you take a break, and hopefully you miss it. You miss the game so much that you want to get back into it.
Yeah. I apologize. There was a banner that was put on right there that was the wrong banner than I meant to put up right there. So someone just we just did a free ad read for the Union community, which you should definitely join, unionsports.com, guys, or check it out on all Apple and Google Play stores, a free goalkeeper community for everyone. I know Diego is chomping at the bit to check it out and see if it's not garbage. I do want to talk about this as we're starting to wrap up right here. There's a lot of questions in here, guys. I apologize. We're not going to get to all of them. Again, put them in the forum, guys, in the union. We'll try to get to them, or just start trying to discuss on your own right there in the union forum, guys. It's going to be really, really solid stuff. But there's a very important question here, and this is from Zach Downs, and he goes, where are the next action camps?
Yeah, so we got a nice list coming up of things. Obviously, with Zach Downs in Dallas, the man, the myth, the legend in Dallas, he does an amazing job for us. To be honest, he is one of the best coaches, youth coaches I've seen that should be in the pro game. So hopefully he'll get his chance very soon. We're going to Vegas as well. We're talking to go to Idaho as well, hopefully somewhere in California, and then back to Mexico, a couple of cities in Florida. So looking forward.
Wow, Mexico. You guys are going international.
Yes, we did with EGK camps, and we're going to go back hopefully this summer. We got something cooking in the next couple of months for Mexico.
That's actually a really, really good point that you just brought up right there, Diego. And obviously, you know, both of us are bilingual. Both of us were not born in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously have spent a little bit more time in South America than I can based on the way I talk right now. My Spanish definitely needs some work right now. But it's really important to be able to speak multiple languages when you're a goalkeeper coach, because you are going to have players coming in from different environments. And sometimes that cultural barrier, that language barrier, it could sometimes be the difference between you being able to connect with them and you not being able to connect with them.
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, connection is everything. If you don't have that connection with your player, it doesn't matter how hard they work. There's always going to be a misconnection. So if you're able to learn different languages, please go ahead. Not only for the game, it's just for your personal self to be successful. And unfortunately it does open more doors, right? If you have different, if you know how to speak different languages.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of those things is, as well too, is that if you can speak multiple languages, and I need to do a better job on learning languages other than Spanish and English. Although I did learn Portuguese when I was 2, I don't remember a lot, but I did learn it. I lived in Brazil for 6 months when I was 2. I said that to somebody the other day. I was like, oh yeah, I lived in Sao Paulo for a bit and they started speaking Portuguese to me. I was like, I was 2. And they're like, you should have started with that. That's what you should start with. Is that you're going to understand a lot of times language tells you how the country views the game of football because of the way that the language kind of dictates, you know, how terms are used in regards to, like, if you look at even just like the UK when it comes to the goalkeeping, you know, the way they talk about environment and final action and all that kind of tells you their point of view on goalkeeping. whether it's you look at another area and the language they use kind of determines. Maybe I need Danny Abrahams. Maybe this is more like a sports site conversation.
Yeah.
But you kind of get what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Of course. And there's different terminology, right? There's different terminology within countries and when it comes to like the even the language of the game, right? When I play in Venezuela, for me, even though being Colombian and the Spanish is Spanish, right? But there's a different dialect or usage of words.
Sometimes. Different arepa too.
Different arepa. I like yours better.
Yeah. Hold on. This is being recorded. You know that, right? This is being recorded. Literally, it's on camera now. It is now publicly official, guys. Venezuelan arepas beat Colombian arepas.
I'll say the Colombian empanadas, though.
There we go.
So we're even. Yeah, so sometimes the language is like they're asking me for cajon, which is the frontal smutter, and I had no clue what they were saying. And it took them showing me, oh, this is what cajon is. And so language is very important.
Yeah. Let's wrap on this right here, and this is a good question from Tyler. It's a little bit loaded, and I don't know if you can answer it. Based on. Because I think a lot of people out there need to understand that, there's a lot of great programs out there that aren't MLS programs. But Tyler Presolicicano says, being a DC United coach, would you agree with the MLS Next system? Is it worth the drive and commitment for young athletes?
Being in it, that I was in it, it's a yes. Because the amount of hours that coaches put into each kid, it's insane. We're talking about that some of those guys are getting in at 7:30 in the morning, the coaches, and they're leaving at 9:30 at night. And what I mean, each player is a project. Literally each player is a project. They measure all how many sprints they did in a day, what they need to do for the next day, their IDPs, their food consumption, their diets. And to all the respect to local private clubs, that's where the difference is at. I think because of the resources that an MLS club has compared to a local club, I think each player sometimes is worth, they spend $40,000-$50,000 a player. So imagine you have 100-something players, you're spending a lot of money in your youth academy. So when it comes to the private side, you have to pay to be able to participate. So it's not the same, right?
No, I think you brought up a good point. That being said, not every kid is going to be able to play in an MLS Next Academy. It's some areas of the country don't even have an MLS Next Academy. So, I think you need to do your research as a parent out there, and you need to find the best environment for your kid. If they do get the opportunity to be in a professional academy, I agree with you. I think it is the best decision for most kids, maybe not all kids, but for most kids. But if you don't have one, find an environment that's similar. There are local clubs that put the time in.
100%. And then like we talked about, it's not for everyone because kids are not going to handle sometimes the routine that we talked about earlier, five, six trains a week plus games. So it's not for everyone.
Final question I want to ask you, Diego. And first off, thanks for taking all the time, man. I know you've had a long day. I know, you're talking about the hours that, the academy people put in. The first team coaches put in even more time because you've got to be not doing the first team stuff and also doing Loudon and also doing the academy. So, shout out to people like yourself. We're putting full on goalkeeping curriculums together at pro clubs. What advice do you give any young coach out there who is moving on from academy to first team football?
For me, the biggest thing is be as knowledgeable as possible. And what I mean that by that is, if you're in a pro academy, learn all the clubs around you, learn all your opponents, learn teams around your region, other states. When we talk about being a USL coach, learn all the players, learn USL League One, USL League Two. If you're hoping to go into MLS, understand the MLS game, understand the college game, understand the recruiting. Also very important, understand the video editing. I think that's huge nowadays. Understand the softwares that are out there. Be a teacher of the game, but also be a student of the game. You have to continue to evolve daily. I read, I watch sessions all day because it's the only way I'm going to get better. If I don't do that, I'm just going to stay in the same level. I mean, I'm trying to get to the highest level that I can. And, you know, lastly, I would say you have to have a good service, right? If you don't have that, work at it. You know, every day you can get better, because with that, you're going to gain your player's respect. With that, you're going to, once you have the respect, then you can get to work. If you don't have the respect, it's going to be a hard battle to win.
Yeah, I need to work on my service. I was just thinking about that right now. I hit a ball with my right foot yesterday. I'm left-footed. Yeah. And the ball was played back. I saw the pressure coming on me. I'm like, I'm just playing that out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust my right foot the way I should. And if I did that in a training session to another goalkeeper, wouldn't be beneficial to them. No, so I've got to work on that right foot.
Sometimes I'll stay after training and hit. I need to work on my dippers. I'll just hit dippers. And I need to work with, you know, my left foot, because I want to make it realistic as possible. If I need to put a curve on the ball, outswinger, I have to do it for them. So it's, and for myself as well, to continue to develop. So take your time, right? You have to be out on the field and by yourself when no one's watching to get better as well.
See, if the coaches are doing it, guys, you can do it too, is what I'm trying to say. If the coaches are out there hitting those balls, you can do it too. Well, Diego, honestly, this has been incredible, man. We definitely have to have you back. Like I said, with all the footage that you sent us and you're like, I've got more. I'm like, well, you'll be back. You'll be back on the show. You'll definitely be back.
I got footage. Every day we have footage. So if you guys want anything, I mentioned, I'm open to sharing. I'm an open book. I don't believe in keeping everything because it's a community, right? It's a community of coaches that, so I had my mentors. I want to be a mentor to other people. So whatever you guys need, just let me know.
Absolutely, man. And so if anybody wants to reach out to you directly, where's the best place for them to connect?
Yeah, my Instagram is probably the best place. Diego Restrepo GK, just send me a message. I'm pretty open to it. And I always respond to my people. So whatever you guys want to ask, I'm there to answer.
Cool. And remember, guys, if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, contact at InsideThe18Media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on all socials, including the Union. You can also find me at Michael Magid on all socials, including the Union. My comedy schedule, MichaelMagidComedy.com. Got shows coming out throughout Southern California and then Las Vegas at the end of the month. I think that's everything, guys. I think that's all the time on Inside the 18. And we are out. Later, guys.